Hi, this is Robert Ivanyuk, author of Olivia at Zero, Checkmate Blues, Will You Come Again, and The Constant Screaming of Albrecht Lieber. And you are listening to True North Country Comics Podcast.
Welcome to the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book and graphic novel creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Robert Ivanyuk about his comic book plans for Toronto Comic Arts Festival 2024 Digital Marketplace. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, and YouTube Video. Please like and subscribe to that video channel. The Toronto Comic Arts Festival, or TCAF, exists to promote the breadth and diversity of comics, and what is considered comics, as a legitimate medium of literary and artistic worth. TCAF seeks to promote the creators of these works and their broad and diverse voices, for the betterment of the medium of comics, and to reach as broad an audience as possible for them. TCAF is held from May 11th to 12th at the Toronto Reference Library. Based in Toronto, Ontario, Robert Ivanyuk has been an author since 2011. In the first half of his career, he lived the frantic life of a freelancer, getting his work published but also drafting scripts for short films and copywriting for charities. Past credits from this time range from posts for websites like Blog.to and Comic Book Resources to works for fiction anthologies by Alchemy Press, Daily Nightmares, and cross-genre publications. Robert continues to edit on the side, having worked on Ricky Lima's Love Me Please and Yuri Levitsky's Octana & Co. comic series. Starting in 2018, however, he moved into self-publishing and had the privilege to work with artists John Berg and Keith Gratchow, and even released his dystopian romance novel Olivia at Zero. This novel, alongside the comics Will You Come Again and The Constant Screaming of Albert Liberman, as well as Checkmate Blues, will all be available for sale at TCAF's digital marketplace. Checkmate Blues, created in collaboration with Keith Gratchow, is a supernatural noir about a pair of gangsters who are playing a mysterious game of chess that is somehow linked to their past lives. Will You Come Again and The Constant Screaming of Albert Lieberman were created in collaboration with John Berg. Will You Come Again is a story of a pair of lovers reunited on the coast after one of them died at sea. The Constant Screaming of Albert Lieberman is about a date gone wrong at a haunted art gallery. And Olivia at Zero is a cyberpunk dystopia romance about an office worker losing her position in a society built on backstabbing and social credit scores, falling in love with a mysterious new companion, plus trying to figure out life while a revolution is looming on the horizon. So without further ado, here's my chat with Robert Ivanyuk about his comic book plans for the Toronto Comic Arts Festival 2024 Digital Marketplace. So Robert Ivanyuk, thank you very much for taking time to chat with me.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Before I get going with all the questions, I would like to ask you, what was the first comic book that you read?
Oh, God, I got to rack my brain about it a bit. There's three that come to mind. I don't have an exact timeline for when I've read them exactly. I'll start with the one that I remember the most. Like, I grew up around a lot of comics growing up. My dad collected a bunch of Silver Age books, so I read a bunch of his old, like, Tales to Astonish and, like, Flash comics and Batman. Those were definitely a lot of fun. And also he got me a bunch of Donald Duck stuff. But one of the comics that really resonated with me when I was younger was this adaptation of an old Chinese story called Journey to the West. The book itself was called Adventures of Magic Monkey Along the Silk Road or something like that. It was way different from a lot of the stuff I'd read throughout my life up until that point as a youngin, just because, you know, I was used to superheroes and Tales from the Crypt Desk stuff or cartoon characters I liked in silly situations. And this was, you know, about, you know, someone being punished by the gods for his arrogance and shape-shifting and beating up like ox demons and stuff. That really was out of left field for anything I had read growing up. So that really struck with me. The other two, I'll just go through them real quick. One was an old Baron Werewolf comic that I remember was given to me as a gift by one of my classmates that I still have to this day. And the other one was this weird Super Mario Brothers comic that I read, where it was Basically, it was set in the real world, and a guy got a magic Game Boy where all the Mario characters were coming out of it. But because they were coming out of a Game Boy screen, they were all an inch high. So it was so bizarre. But those ones, I think, were the books that really made me go, oh, wow, comics are really cool.
That is something else. Yeah, those are very unique, offbeat comics, that's for sure. So I'd like to ask you then, who or what inspires you to create today?
In terms of what inspires me, I think because of I have friends who are artists and sort of in the indie comic scene or like moving up in the professional ranks, the words of encouragement that I get from them and all, as well as my family, that kind of motivates me to create. I mean, I have a lot of ideas for stuff, but I always kind of have, you know, these moments where I go, am I good enough for this? Do I have what it takes to kind of like, you know, lock in and just kind of work on all this stuff? And then I have people around me that just say, just tell the story. Like, you know, if you believe in it, just get it done. As far as artists or writers that really influence my stuff, unfortunately, a lot of the creators I really like have turned out to be really awful people. But there's definitely still some that I turn to as sort of my my North Stars, especially when it comes to storytelling. Mike Mignola is still a big favorite of mine. I really like his style and presentation. Alan Moore's attention to detail. Brian K. Vaughan, in the way he kind of captures humanity, really resonates with me. I think Pride of Baghdad is one of his strongest works. And there's a couple of mangaka as well that I really like. You know, Junji Ito's horror always, you know, sends a chill down my spine. And I also really like Ryoko Kui, who works on this high fantasy survival series called Delicious in Dungeon. But her stuff I really like because she builds these big fantastical worlds, but she does a great job at sort of showing magic and monsters and the like as being part of a larger complex biosphere as opposed to things that exist outside nature. And I find that to be truly beautiful.
Yeah, lots of good inspiration there, that's for sure. Lots of varied inspiration. So we're here talking because you're going to be virtually exhibiting at the Toronto Comic Arts Festival. So yes, with that sir. In mind, I would like to know, what do you like most about conventions or festivals?
You get to meet some really interesting people at conventions, and for better or for worse. But and a lot of times it's for better. I mean, obviously with conventions, there's you know, gatekeepers and people that'll get on your nerves. But if you kind of, you know, get around them or whatever, then you can find some fantastic people. I've only been exhibiting at a couple of shows over the past year or so. There's been some great people that have approached me at my tables whenever I've had a table. And I've been very fortunate enough to, you know, connect with some really cool people at cons. Honestly, connecting with people at conventions was what got me into wanting to make my own comics in the first place. Like I made some friends who were in the Artist Alley back in 2004 when I was 19 going on 20 or something. And I was like, you know, just kind of talking with them and just kind of going, wow, these guys are really, really cool. And they really love what they do. And they're also neat to be around. So I'd say it's that, you know, it's like just the opportunity to meet some really fun, like-minded people.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a cool vibe when you're there, and definitely TCAF is no exception. How about favorite moments? Is there a favorite moment that stands out? Like when you attended a previous convention or festival?
As a guest or as an exhibitor?
Whatever you like, whatever strikes your fancy.
As a guest, I would say, I think just I had a couple of friends that were exhibiting and they were rooted to their tables, like they couldn't get anywhere. So I remember I would have to offer to kind of do some runs for them. You know, one of my friend Alex, she was exhibiting and there was a huge wall of T-shirts and I had to run and grab that for her just so, because she was worried about missing out on sales. And that was a great moment because it was just like this solidarity between me as a fan running around, you know, with someone who's, you know, trying to make some rent money, basically. That was a fun moment. As far as exhibiting goes, Mississauga Comic Expo was an absolute blast. I met some great people there. I was very fortunate that my table mate was Peter Balsano, who is this really, really I got a chance, like him and his family were both kind of at the show and just absolutely charming people and great people to be around. Like his stuff, and it was really great because his stuff is very kid friendly and a lot of my stuff would definitely not go well with really young readers. So, you know, when people were coming around looking at, you know, the horror comics I wrote or my my novel, I would go, don't let the 6-year-old read this. Here, check out Peter. Like he's got some stuff your little ones would like, and they would immediately be swept up in what he had. And that was just like, oh, Peter saved my bacon so many times that day.
Yeah, there's some great folks at these events, that's for sure. And it's all about networking and being next to someone who shares your interest. That's always a good thing, for sure.
Oh, 100%. So,
you're going to be, as I mentioned before, having a virtual table at TCAF this year. So I'm wondering what will be on your table for people to come by and check out.
I have a couple of books that I self-published over the past few years. They are the same books that I was selling last year. I couldn't get anything new made in time. So that's kind of unfortunate, but it's also like, you know, I'm just going to take the opportunity to just sell it anyway. So I have two comics and a novel. The comics are Checkmate Blues, which I did in collaboration with Keith Gratchow, as well as a pair of books that I did with John Berg. One is called Will You Come Again? And the other one is called The Constant Screaming of Albrecht Lieberman. And my novel is called Olivia at Zero.
Okay. So for people not familiar with these, maybe you could give like an elevator pitch. How would you describe them? You know, just briefly, again, if someone were to come by your table and check them out, what would you say to them?
Checkmate Blues is a supernatural noir about a pair of gangsters playing a mysterious game of chess that is linked somehow to their past lives. I would say that Will You Come Again is about a pair of lovers reuniting at the coast after one of them died at sea. And The Constant Screaming of Albrecht Lieberman is about a date gone wrong at a haunted art gallery. The comics are definitely for people who like those sorts of Tales from the Crypt style stories, those one-offs. Olivia at Zero is a cyberpunk dystopian romance that is about an office worker losing her position in a society built on backstabbing and social credit scores, falling in love with a mysterious new companion in the lower rungs of the ladder, and trying to figure out what happened to her while a revolution is looming on the horizon.
Ah, very intriguing. There you go. You mentioned your collaborators for the comics, Keith Gratchow and John Berg. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the collaboration process. How did you work with each of them? Did you just say, here's a script and go, or was there a little bit of back and forth?
It was both. It really it was different with both of them. I worked with John first. I had a couple of stories that I really wanted to make. So I just sort of put out an open call. I was immediately drawn in by his art style, and I said, this is what I want to work on. This is my budget. Are you available? And he said, yep, throw it at me. So I just sort of tossed him the script. We had a little bit of a talk about what he could do and what he couldn't do based on my descriptions and panels. And we just kind of released both stories as they were. Definitely a lot different from my experiences with Keith, where with Keith, I had sort of the bare bones of an idea that I had scrapped. And we ended up just kind of puzzling over it and reassembling it into something brand new. Keith was someone I met through these networking events that were happening at the Sidekick downtown. So, and we stayed in touch, and he put out an open call where he said, I'm looking for people to collaborate. So, and I said, I'm in, what are you looking for? And he said, I kind of want to be more involved in the creative process. So Checkmate Blues and the books I did with John are born out of completely different processes. And I think if I ever get a chance to work with John Berg again, I would love to do what I did with Keith with any future project that I do with John. Because I feel like it was great. I mean, as fulfilling as it is to just kind of toss a script at someone and give him money, I do kind of wish I brought him a little bit more into the collaborative side of things. And that's kind of the joy of doing comics, I find, which is that there's supposed to be this sort of dance between the two halves of it, you know, the script writer and the artist, right? So yeah. John, if you're listening, if you ever want to take a break from Scab, you know where to find me. by the way, go read Scab. It's really good.
Yeah, I've heard some folks say that the assembly line process isn't always fulfilling or satisfying, I guess. So having that sort of back and forth, as you said, like a, I wouldn't say a tennis match, but like a team effort, I think really does go a long way to finalize that product and have something in your hands that you really both appreciate. So that's good.
Yeah. I would also describe it as like choreographing a dance together.
Yeah.
Where it's just sort of, you gotta have like, you know, the steps kind of set up, right?
That's true. You hinted and you said you weren't able to get stuff ready for this show. Does that mean that you have some upcoming projects that you can talk about?
Oh God, yes. I have like four.
Oh my.
Yeah. It's the great and terrible thing about being a writer. The great thing is you have a lot of ideas. The bad thing is you have a lot of ideas. I've got four in the works. One is a space opera that's a mix of comic and prose called The Last Will and Testament of Gyro Bronson. It's a nice single novelette that I want to release. I'm still trying to find an artist for it. But it's got a mix of comic pages and prose kind of woven together. So I'm trying to have some fun with kind of slapping that together. The other one is a short story collection, because before I moved into self-publishing, a bunch of my short fiction was published through a bunch of magazines. But then I kind of burned out from the whole writing grind and then kind of came back into it through self-publishing. But since then, the rights to all those short stories have come back to me. What I'm doing is I want to assemble them in a collection, but I also kind of want to rewrite them a little, because I'm a much different guy now. Some of these stories are from 2011. So I kind of want to tweak them and fix some things I don't like anymore, because they're mine again, right? The two that are closest to completion that I kind of want to, you know, set some hype up for. For those of you who really liked Olivia at Zero, the sequel is on the way. I'm working on the second half of the story, which I am tentatively calling either Morgan at Zero or Morgan at Home. Morgan is Olivia's partner in the novel, in the first book. I'm telling the second half of the story from her perspective. The other thing is I am working on a fan book for a dark fantasy tabletop RPG called Morkborg. And that one I'm excited about because I'm actually illustrating it myself.
Oh, wow. That's something, eh?
Yeah. I've dusted off my sketchbooks. I've busted out some pens and pencils. I'm figuring out some typesetting programs and some ways to kind of put this thing together. I'm hoping to have it released at the end of the year, hopefully alongside Morgan, but we'll see.
That's lots of good stuff. Yeah, I've seen some creators sort of branch out a wee bit. I don't know if it's because they don't feel that what they're doing right now is fulfilling their creative itch. Mm-hmm. I've seen some people use tarot cards as an example, perhaps, or board games, Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. So there's lots of different avenues, I guess, to get your ideas across. And it's great that you're doing it. That's tremendous. Good stuff.
Thank you.
So I've got to ask you, typically at these conventions, people are looking for advice. And because you've got some experience in comic books, I'd like to ask you, what would be one piece of advice for someone who's thinking about making their own comic book? What would you say to them?
I would say start small, because I feel like a lot of people who get into writing, and especially a lot of people who want to write comics, everyone is guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. A lot of people I know have been guilty of this. Everyone wants to make the next Marvel, you know, sort of super universe, right? Where it's all these interconnected characters, or they want to make something that's on the level of a comic, like, say, Preacher. You know, everyone kind of has an idea for a massive storyline that maybe, you know, has, you know, side stories and whatever else. The advice I would give people is, for God's sake, do a one shot, like do a single 10-page, 12-page story first, and see if you can kind of find a rhythm from that. And I think it's a really good exercise to start small and then work your way up. So if you're doing comics, for example, work on a 5-page script and then a 10-page script and then 20-page script, and then maybe like a longer story. And then if you're working in prose, work on some short stories that are around 800 to 1,000 words, and then go up to 1,500 and then 2,000 and so on and so on. So you kind of You find a rhythm and you get good at telling something that is fast and complete, so that that way you kind of get yourself ready for when you're telling something that's much bigger.
That's great advice. Absolutely, for sure. So, Robert, I'm wondering, with all the work that you've got going on, is there a website that you recommend that people go to find out about your current and your future projects?
Yeah, I'm on a little social networking site called Blue Sky. My handle on there is Robert in the Wires, but I've also got a Ko-fi page. It's got a longer handle. Robert is Lost in the Wires. I might shorten it. It's a little lofty, but Robert is Lost in the Wires for now. And that's where you can find, if you're listening to this outside of TCAF, I've got PDFs for all my books on there. And you can also give me a nice tip through the donation system if you think anything I make is really cool and you also want to get some other stuff out of me. But those are the main places where people can find me. I also have a WordPress page, but it's been collecting dust since the winter. And I haven't touched it in a while. One day I'll go back to it. But those are the two main places where I would direct people.
Great. Well, those are all the questions I have for you, but I'm wondering, is there something I didn't ask that you'd like to get across in this interview?
I think one of the things that artists struggle with and writers and other creatives struggle with is we seem to have normalized this idea that the grind is really important and that the struggle is really important for creating good art. Whereas I feel that the best way to approach anything creative is that you just need to give yourselves at least 1 or 2 days a week when you're not doing anything creative, because you kind of have to treat it like a muscle. You know, muscles get tired, right? And you need to allow yourself to have time away from your craft so that you can kind of recharge and come at it with fresh eyes. There are way too many horror stories of artists that have put everything into their work and have been kind of worn down by it, or they get sick of it, or they do damage to their own physical and mental health. And I think what's really important for, you know, anyone, like if you're a singer, any kind of musician, or an illustrator or a writer, whatever, give yourself that time to breathe. You will thank yourself later and your work will be better for it.
Thanks to Robert for the chat. You can support Robert via his Ko-fi page. That's ko-fi.com/Robert is Lost in the Wires. And you can find him on Blue Sky at Robert in the Wires. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Remember to check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. True North Country Comics is on YouTube. Please like and subscribe to that video channel and hit the notification button. You can follow along at True North Country Comics on most social media sites. And you can send any and all feedback to john@truenorthcountrycomics.com. Thanks for listening, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2024.